Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him. We've got former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger on the show. He's also author of the new book, On Thin Ice, at onthinicebook.com. So thanks for being on the show, Jeff. Appreciate it. More coming up about his book as well. Guys, our sponsors, you know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. Our satellite sponsor is ComplianTechnologies.com. We also have Aero Precision USA, our arm sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming over a million followers right now on social media. And let's see, we have TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And since Jeff's on the show today, we are doing a special Two Bells giveaway. So if you want to type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell and give us your email address, as long as you haven't won in the last 90 days, you'll be eligible to win a free $20 gift card code from Two Bells, which is good at our online store. So they're going to cover the first $20 you spend on our online store. And we got a lot of cool gear, like the shirt that I'm wearing, and actually the one that Jeff's wearing as well. We also have fishorlandobass.com. So Zach has got a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area. So next time you're going to Disney with the wife and the kids or the grandkids, drop them off, give them the credit card or give them some cash. Today, it would have to be a lot of cash to go to Disney, right? Especially with a family. And you can go solo or with whoever you want and go do the bass fishing charter with Zach. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting where you catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. So fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We've got our main topic. Ex-FBI agent says that Bondi, our attorney general, has slam dunk conspiracy case against Obama's feds for election meddling. That's an interesting. It's an interesting article. And we've also got disgraced outgoing DC police chief melts down and drops F bomb in walkout speech. No class at all. Very disappointed in her. Suspect tries to shoot a Canton police officer during a Walmart shoplifting arrest. This video is making it around, and we're going to be talking about it. New Haven cleared in fatally shooting a suspect who shot an officer in the leg. We actually had two officers on further investigation. We had two officers that were shot in that little altercation. Then we got a cop with kidney failure, 6 months away from retirement, was set to be terminated, and his health benefits ending. And it looks like there's a new announcement in reference to that as well. We'll be talking about that. Armed robbery suspect shot by HPD, and that's Houston police, after holding a store employee hostage. Wow. And then Queen Senior begins a 4-year sentence and a gun charge after after a justified self-defense shooting. They just didn't like the fact that, you know, in Queens, he had firearms. Suspect kills himself when crashing into a garbage truck during a brief pursuit. This dude committed suicide while being chased by the police. And then finally, Texas officer indicted for murder after an on-duty crash kills two children, an unfortunate situation. So, Jeff, if you're ready, let's start off with the first one. JustTheNews.com is the source. Ex-FBI agent says that Bondi has a slam dunk conspiracy case against Obama's feds for election meddling. So retired FBI agent who assembled major crime cases for years says that Attorney General Pam Bondi has a slam dunk conspiracy case to prosecute federal agents and prosecutors for election meddling for relentlessly pursuing Donald Trump for political purposes while protecting prominent Democrats like Hillary Clinton in the face of damning evidence. Now, this guy, and I don't know if you heard of him or not, Jonathan Gilliam, he's a retired FBI agent, also former Navy SEAL. He told Just the News, No Noise, it's a television show, that Trump should name a justice czar to coordinate both prosecutions and policy fixes after documents turned over to Congress by AG Bondi and FBI Director Kash Patel showed that FBI agents were repeatedly thwarted from pursuing corruption allegations against Hillary Clinton and her family foundation. The agents were overruled when they told prosecutors that there was not probable cause to raid Trump's home in Florida. And here's a quote saying, it's the same cast of characters every time. This is what Gilliam said. We have a tremendous amount of evidence that they were trying to create evidence and falsify evidence to go after Trump. And now we see that they're trying to stop investigations and get rid of real evidence for the purpose of protecting the Clintons. And he goes on to say that I think this really does lead to bigger charges, such as conspiracy to overthrow an election. I would say potentially treason, if you could put that on in there, and definitely sedition. And he goes on to say that he suggested that the Justice Department treat key players accused of weaponizing law enforcement and intelligence powers just like a drug cartel or mafia family. And he said this is a group of people that continue to come up in one case of building cases against Trump, falsifying information. But now it shows the same people were conspiring to do a second overall crime or a second conspiracy to protect a political candidate that they actually agree with. And he goes, honestly, if this was a mafia case and we had this clear cut of an example of a group of people that were committing two or more crimes for the furtherance of their political group or their enterprise, this would be a slam dunk case for any U.S. attorney. So I think this is something they should look at. And his comments come the same week that Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon told the Just the News No Noise television show that she believes there's enough evidence to pursue a conspiracy case as well. And our guy went on to suggest that a case would be massive in scope, and that you would have to have all the right players in place to get it done. But Jeff, any surprises here? I know there has been some new evidence out about just how bad it was, and it wasn't the FBI that was the head of the snake. They were the ones saying, "Hey, put the brakes on. We don't think we should be hitting the Trump compound. There's not enough evidence." What do you think?
Well, when I not only read the article, but I listened to the interview of this individual, and my response is just kind of measured because he doesn't really supply any concrete evidence to support his assertions. There very well may have been FBI agents that felt that there was a probable cause to search Mar-a-Lago.
We've got documents that have made it in front of Congress saying that.
Yeah, but a federal judge signed a warrant. So who am I to question that federal judge? We're all entitled to our opinions. I'm just kind of measured because when I listened to him talk on the show, it seemed more like barstool talk than anything that was substantive where I could take it and form a strong opinion. And I'm not saying that he's not correct. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's just not enough there for me to say, to jump on board and pound my fist. So do I believe Trump was treated differently than others? Absolutely. Were there decisions made to go after him wherein if it were somebody else, those same decisions would not have been made? I would agree with that. To the extent that it's treason and all that sort of stuff, I don't know. That may be a long shot. But, if more than anything, it just kind of piques my interest, makes me want to know more, see what actual evidence they have that can corroborate what they're saying. Because if in fact what he's saying is true, yeah, something should be done. Someone needs to be held accountable. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of measured in my response just because I'm not seeing anything that that I can hang my hat on and that I could articulate why I would support his position.
I got you.
Real robustly. But I believe Trump, I don't think there's any question. He was treated differently than many others that easily could have been looked into and gone after. So,
And I would go as far as say I think it's clear he was certainly targeted. I mean, we had people that were running for political office just on the theme and the promise of going after Trump. They didn't have any charges or any allegations. They just say, I'm going to find something on him. And, which is just, that's just kind of scary,
Right. No. And I had all kinds of issue with how he was being prosecuted this summer by people that, like you said, ran on the platform that they were going to go after him. I mean, that's just not how we operate here in this country. Yeah. Like I said, I can't say that what he's saying isn't true. I just want to see some meat and potatoes. I want to see something I can hang my hat on.
All right, I'm with you. All right. We'll love it. So, guys, we've got about a minute left before we take our first commercial break. So let me go in and whet the appetite on the next story. And it's an update story. RVMnews.com, disgraced outgoing D.C. police chief melts down and drops the F-bomb in a walkout speech. You know, should have quit while she was ahead. Outgoing Washington, D.C. police chief Pamela Smith ended her tenure on Friday with an unexpected and profane address during her final press conference, departing from prepared remarks to confront critics directly and reflect on her time leading the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. Yeah, this is going to be something you guys don't want to miss. I'm gonna stop there. I see Jeff nodding his head. I don't know if it's because of what we're going to cover or he likes the music. But anyhow, guys, it's time for first commercial break. Stick with us. We're going to cover this DC thing in a second. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online mix, it's like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here, and it's about supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code where you can get 15% off your next purchase. That's radio 15. So type in radio 15 to get 15% off your next purchase, and that is good through the end of the month, December 31st, at gauls.com. and they have gift cards. And in fact, I think we're going to give away one today as well. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is all at gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies and ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And actually, I think that's hundreds of thousands of times talking with Jeff the other day. You heard that correctly. They've had no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Chef sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. You know, we left off talking about a story, disgraced outgoing D.C. police chief melts down and drops the F-bomb in a walkout speech. Wow. And she does this all by talking about her religious faith and being a Christian and stuff. Just an embarrassment. Oh, my. I mean, I don't know who's more upset, the people in law enforcement that she supposedly represents, the citizens she was representing, or the people, you know, Christians that are hearing her run her mouth and just doing such damage to the faith, you know. But she announced last week that she would step down as police chief, and said that she dared not leave without speaking to what she described as her haters. All right. So during the event, and apparently she's got thick, you know, as in law enforcement, Jeff knows you can't have thin skin and you got to let it just roll off. So during the event, she invoked her religious upbringing and church involvement, arguing that criticism of her leadership had not shaken her faith or her personal convictions. Then she escalated her remarks, delivering a profanity-laced message aimed at those who had criticized her during her tenure as police chief, before shifting into what she framed as a declaration of forgiveness rooted in Christian teachings. Wow. She better go back and read the Bible. So here's a quote. So I'm going to the Bible when I say this to my haters, F you. What she said. No, it's not a drop the mic moment. Watch me in the space. I forgive you. And this is what she says. Her remarks came as she prepares to leave for a post as the chief of the Metropolitan Police Department in the District of Columbia. She served in that capacity since July of 2023. Not terribly long. She's scheduled to step down at the end of December 2025, bringing her tenure to roughly 2.5 years. And it goes on to say that her time as chief unfolded amid heightened scrutiny of crime and public safety in the nation's capital. And I have a little side note that we're probably going to see her very soon on a panel of experts. I'm not going to name the law enforcement website it'll probably be on. They have people like this, but she'll probably join the likes of former chiefs from San Francisco, Oakland Police, Portland, and Seattle, giving advice to police leaders around the country on what to do and how to identify what they're doing wrong in order to, you know, get it right. You know, your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, it's my understanding in the DC law enforcement circles that she was known as Preacher Pam. And, you know, really got her into the grease was this assertion that, yeah, she was, you know, cooking the books, as they call it. Yeah. You know, and you probably just as well as I had experience on the job where there's, I don't really call it like manipulation of the stats, but, you know, you have the uniform crime, you know, the UCR uniform crime reports. And you have, they articulate certain criteria for each crime. And to give you an example, say, I used to have this when I was a watch commander. Someone would come and have an arrest where somebody broke into someone's home and the people flee. It's a hot prowl type radio call. Individuals taken into custody and they're asking for booking approval for burglary, which, you know, you enter a four-sided structure to commit grand or petty larceny or any other felony. You have the elements of burglary, which is a felony. And I would approve it. And then it gets down the road and it gets knocked down to a trespass. And they're saying
without them going through you.
Yes.
Okay.
It was structured that way, but you know, in LA, they could do that, whether it was a crime report, an arrest, or what have you. And the reality was is that they would say, well, absent this individual disclosing that he was there to commit a grand or petty larceny, you don't have that element of the crime. So technically, perhaps they're right, but where the real disingenuousness of this all is basically comparing the crime stats as we used to historically always gather them, and then creating the under this new interpretation of the definition, and then comparing them. You're not comparing apples to apples. So the crime stats that you're claiming to be achieving as far as reductions aren't accurate at all. So, you know, that's what I think probably went on here. I know there's
I still have some issues with, depending on how it's, I mean, I guess the fact that everybody, look, my agency went through this too, but there was huge drama and people losing jobs over not wanting to play ball, you know, in that game, you know, so.
Right. That is, you know, and apparently, you know, she wouldn't come outright and say, you know, you're going to change your crime stats, but people knew what she wanted. And if you didn't do what she wanted, you know, she had that personality where she would embarrass you in crime stat meetings and, you know, the people that would acquiesce to what she wanted would get favor and promotions or assignments and that kind of stuff. And that's really what got her into the grease. I mean, I just, she's not somebody I'd want to work for.
Well, dropping the F-bomb, she lost a lot of respect there. You know, with my agency, we would, it got to the point where they wanted to lower the crime stats in Tampa. And so if you had an auto burglary and it was within like a 2-block area, one offense, one stat in UCR, instead of it being 20 different auto burglaries, we saw some horrible things going on. And there was intent, but anyhow,
yeah, we dealt with that in a little different way. We would, if we couldn't establish that something was actually stolen from the vehicle, we'd just classify it as auto tampering.
Like a really, huh?
Yeah.
See with us, even if you had the, even if it was, it doesn't have to be the intent to commit a felony. It can be to with the intent to trespass, you know, but it's still burglary. You know, and it's a felony, even if the companion crime was a petty theft or a trespass or whatever. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, look, let's move on. But interesting stuff. We're going to go to our first story of the video. Guys, some of these videos, and we're coming up on the next break. I'll whet the appetite. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And also, it's at lawofficer.com. Suspect tries to shoot a Canton police officer during a Walmart shoplifting arrest. This cop is lucky to be alive. Oh my gosh. How this went down. This is just crazy. And the video footage is excellent quality. Wow. Glad we have body cams. We're going to cover this in 1 second, guys. We're up for a second commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. A beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company. So you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. You know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on the Primo stuff and their M5 AR308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. Go to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, also author of the new book, On Thin Ice, at OnThinIceBook.com. Guys, we left off. We're getting ready to talk about a suspect who tried to shoot a Canton police officer during a Walmart shoplifting arrest. A lot of you guys have probably heard about this. This is one of those ones where you're going to want to see the video. So just in case anybody wants to see that, you know, maybe you're driving your car right now, listening to us on radio or maybe podcast, and you don't, there's no video component. Of course, we're not showing the video, you know, during a live show anyhow. Too many things can go wrong. But what we do, our show basically has two versions. We have the live show, which is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And then we have a produced version. And producer Will take that live show and he'll embed every video we talk about as we talk about it. And then pictures of the good guys and the bad guys will pop up as we talk about them. And that comes out the very next morning at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. And that happens Tuesday through Saturday. It's a great way, arguably a better way to watch a show. But if you want to see the video, log back in 9 o'clock the next morning, tomorrow morning, to watch this one. So this is the guy that tries to shoot the Canton officer. So we're in Canton, Ohio, and Jeff's in Ohio. So I expect you to represent your peeps well when we talk about this story. Canton police officials say that two suspects are in custody after one of them attempted to shoot an officer during a shoplifting incident at a Walmart on Thursday. And this is what I used to do before I became a cop. I used to do loss prevention, you know, store security and stuff for Montgomery Ward and some other stuff. According to a release, the incident happened about 1:45 in the afternoon at Walmart. An officer was inside the office, you know, processing this two people, a male and a female, suspected of shoplifting inside the store's loss prevention office. So they had already been apprehended by the loss prevention officer. They're in the store. And the first thing I noticed was they weren't handcuffed. And when we did it, I carried handcuffs and I handcuffed the guys or girls. So they weren't handcuffed. And so, you know, I'm going to jump here because it doesn't really, I'm going to kind of lay. So, You've got a male and female sitting on a couch, not handcuffed. You've got the police officer. We're watching everything go down through his body cam. And then we've got the loss prevention guy that's in a shirt and a tie. When the fight started, another dude came in that was dressed down. So I he may have been the one that caught the couple of shoplifting is kind of what I suspect. But, you know, now they have cameras and all kinds of stuff. But we had two loss prevention people in there that were technically civilians. And then we had, you know, one cop. And then we had two bad guys, a girl and a guy. So as soon as this loss prevention guy with the shirt and tie comes over and he hands the cop some piece of paper or something, but he stands between the officer and the two people sitting down on the couch, the girl and the guy, the shoplifting suspects, and he temporarily blocks the officer's view. As soon as he goes to do that, the guy sitting down, he leans over, he starts talking to the female sitting next to him, and I watched her, I didn't see her move her lips. She just looked up like he had told her something, and she would look maybe a little concerned. Next thing you know, the guy sitting next to her, he turns around and he is reaching for something on his side, comes up with a gun, two hands, points it right at the freaking police officer. Now, you can't tell the trigger's being pulled or not, but they charge the guy with attempted murder, and they say the gun didn't discharge. So by all accounts, he pulled the trigger and it just didn't fire. And at that point, our loss prevention dude, the guy pulls, it looks like he pulls the, you can't see him pull the trigger, but the article said he pulled the trigger. It didn't work. He briefly lowers it down. As soon as he does that, the civilian loss prevention employee with the tie on jumps him, and now they're fighting over the gun. The bad guy's still able to raise the gun up one more time, points it right at our officer, and then he lowers it again, and it gets knocked out of the bad guy's hand, and it goes sliding across the floor. Loss prevention guy, as the cops diving in, they hit the bad guy. Loss prevention guy dives on the floor to grab the gun. Now the cop and the bad guy are fighting. Cop's got a gun in his right hand, so he's fighting basically one-handed. So he holsters his weapon, continues the fight, but it takes two other dudes to jump in with him. It looked like they put the gun on the desk. The female backed out of the way, away from everything, away from the gun and everybody. And so now we got two loss prevention guys and our cop that finally go 10-15, you know, with the bad guy. And it was just a wild. It was wild. And they identify our bad guy as Shane C. L. Newman. He's only 21 years old, and they charged him with attempt to commit murder, felonious assault on peace officers, plural, robbery, aggravated possession of drugs, and having weapons under disability. All right, you can explain that to me, Jeff. Maybe he was on a controlled substance, is what I'm. I mean, or maybe he's just cuckoo. His accomplice is Katrina D. Jeffrey, 23 years old. I understand that she might be single now, guys. In case anybody wants her information, let me know. And she's been charged with complicity complicity to commit robbery. So there you go. Jeff Weninger, make sense of all this for us, because these are your Ohio peeps that we're talking about.
Yeah, actually, Canton's not too far from where I live. It's in Stark County, so it's a couple counties away, but only about a 45-minute drive. But, you know, when I watch this, it's my understanding that the police officer that was there was actually working an off-duty security detail. Was okay. Waiting for the on-duty police officers to arrive, but he was in full uniform, and that doesn't excuse him from following standard safety protocols and how you would handle people like this. Oftentimes, when I would respond, sometimes the loss prevention officers wouldn't take the measures necessary to ensure the safety of everybody. And one of them, as you mentioned, when you worked as a safe prevention loss officer, you handcuff people because essentially they're being detained, and you have to handcuff them just for your own safety. At a minimum, you need to search them, you know. So, but you know, it's crazy. And during my time dealing with the officer involved shooting incidents and lethal force cases with the LAPD, it's rare, but it's not uncommon where you have these cases where a suspect intends on shooting a police officer, and actually they attempt to, and there's a marking, primer mark and all of that. But for whatever reason, it was bad ammo or it didn't fire. And it happens more often than you would know. Listen, this you didn't see it coming, because you don't suspect that somebody that's being detained for petty theft is actually going to resort to that type of violence against a law enforcement official. So, but hey, listen, that's why we'd have the tactics that we have. And you just universally, without fail, do the same thing every time. And as you handcuff people, you do thorough searches before you just engage in any further, because of this is the type of thing that can happen. But, you know, the one thing I got to commend the officer for, he didn't fire in response to that gun. And he articulated a good reason why, where he said he felt that the employee that was wearing the tie, when he was engaged with the guy in the physical altercation, and he didn't want to inadvertently strike him. So that told me that this officer maintained a level head and was actually thinking rather than just arbitrarily responding to the threat or panicking. He clearly was able to keep his wits about him and make some sound judgments. Had he fired, would it have been justified? Absolutely. Should have he fired? Someone could argue he should have, but you have to trust his judgment in that he felt he would be putting that innocent person at undue risk. And I got to commend him for that kind of clear-headed decision-making under a rapidly unfolding tactical scenario. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah, I don't know what the policy of Walmart is. I'll tell you, if it was my jurisdiction, my guys wouldn't be going down picking up shop unless they were handcuffing those people. I'm not going to be sending my guy. That's just a little ridiculous. You know, this never should have happened. But I'll bet on either side of the, whether it's the loss prevention specialist or whether it's the uniforms handcuffing those guys right away instead of sitting in a room and just processing people, holding people without handcuffs on behind their backs. I mean, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. Oh, I'll tell you, this guy. He is, you know, Merry Christmas, brother, because you were lucky to be alive. And I tell you, the unsung hero, this loss prevention employee, I don't know what his role is there, but the guy in the tie that jumped this guy with a gun, guy has no handcuffs on, so it really could have gone either way. That was, he didn't even think. It was impressive. I was impressed. So
yeah, I was impressed as well, and I suspect there's likely a job out there if he would want to pursue it. Yeah. One that would probably be better than working as a loss prevention officer.
I would think. You would think, right? All right, guys. So it looks like every one of our breaks is coming up really close to a commercial break. So we're getting close to our next commercial break, guys. But I'm going to wet the story for the next one. It's another story, a little wild video component. New Haven cleared in a fatal shooting. A suspect shot an officer in the leg. He actually shot two officers.
Police with a search warrant! Police with a search warrant! Come to the door! Police with a search warrant! Come to the door! Police! Police!
Come out!
Police! Police department! Come to the door! Okay. Hey! Come out! Hey.
Come out!
Come out!
Come out!
Here you go. Put the sign here.
Come
on,
baby.
All right, come on.
Get her.
Come out.
I saw you tuck in the room. Get out.
Come out. Come out. Okay, you're okay. Show me your hand. Show me your fuck. There's a problem. Shut up.
No, sir. No, we understand that, sir. We have it under control. We just need to stay here. Aaron!
Let's go.
Marty, get out of here when you can.
In the leg, one in the calf, and one else in the leg. So there's a lot going on in this one. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, author of the new book, On Thin Ice, at onthinicebook.com. And now we're in New Haven, Connecticut. So a Waterbury police detective, guys, there's a lot going on, so pay close attention. Waterbury police detective and a West Haven police sergeant ended up being justified in the fatal shooting of a suspect that happened back in January. And the Office of Inspector General released its finding in the fatal shooting of 35-year-old Aaron Freeman after Freeman fired at the officers. Now, this is a DEA task force, so that would explain why we've got all these agencies involved in this. The shooting happened on January the 29th, a two-story apartment building. Law enforcement officers with the DEA task force, including Waterbury Police, West Haven Police, New Haven Police, they arrived at the apartment about 5:30 early in the morning, and they're doing a search warrant, and they have an arrest warrant for our bad guy Freeman on narcotic charges. So the officers, they gather outside, they knock on the door, and then they've got a key. They let themselves in because there's no answer to the door. There's a naked woman running around. They get clothes on her, get her out of the way. And now you got a door that is ajar in a bedroom, and it's our dude, our bad guy, who's also naked. And he's got you can't really see his hands. He's got the door ajar. And as soon as they say, hey, show us your hands, he open fires and he's got a semi-automatic pistol, and he hits one of the officers. It's West Haven officer Robert Rappa in the calf. And Rappa, he ends up going to the bathroom where he's kind of held up, and he's safe, but he's also got, you know, if the bad guy moves on him, he can also defend himself too, but he's got to apply his own tourniquet and everything. Now we have another officer. It's a detective, Martin Scanlon. He takes cover in the stairwell, and he actually engages in gunfire with the bad guy. Now, eventually, our officer, who's applied his own tourniquet, we've got the cavalry that comes in, but they're elsewhere in the house, but he wants to get out of the bathroom. He needs medical help. But in order to do that, the only way he can get out of that bathroom and get to where he can get to the hospital is if he runs past the line of sight of a bad guy, you know, who's just been shooting at him, right? So he does hand signals. I was kind of, you do what you need to do, but I was kind of impressed with most of what I saw. He made a run for it. It wasn't pretty. Bad guy fires at him. Sure enough, misses, and our cop makes it, you know, out of the bathroom safely, and they're able to get him some medical help. And so now there's like a 35-minute, you know, wait. Task force members show up. And now we've got the special response team. And so we got a Sergeant Joseph Ryle that's part of that. They have bulletproof safety shields to enter the apartment. And as soon as the sergeant walks in the living room and he moves towards the bedroom, he ends up getting hit in the upper leg by a bullet fired by the Freeman guy, the bad guy, through the bedroom wall. Sergeant returns fire. I believe he had a rifle. And then the bad guy goes dark, right? He goes quiet. That's because he's dead. They send in a drone and gas and stuff, and the bad guy ends up dying. And then there's a big rush to get the sergeant to the hospital and stuff. And so I think both of our cops ended up, you know, being okay. The bad guy was struck in his torso and extremities, according to return fire. I believe it was from the sergeant, but there were some other engagements prior to that. Jeff Winninger, we got about 6 minutes, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I noticed was the initial officer that was shot in the calf. He was doing something that I would discourage officers from doing. You know, you never want to confront a potentially armed suspect right at a door where you're going to have a drawdown. It's basically a 50-50 proposition. And, you know, this guy probably wasn't very proficient with his firearm. The fact that the officers struck in the calf, probably mashed the trigger, firing low. You know, I was really impressed with the officer, how he remained calm, and how he applied the tourniquet to himself. was able to communicate calmly to the other law enforcement personnel on scene and to devise a plan. I think the plan could have been a little better to get him out of there. I would have liked to have seen some type of distraction, whether it's a flashbang or a rake and break of a window of the room that he's in, something to get the attention of the suspect away from the fact that we know that this officer who's already compromised for having been shot is going to be moving into the red zone and potentially could be compromised. So I would have liked to have seen a little bit of insight and a tactical deployment of some type of thing, you know, and the reality is, it doesn't have to be pretty. I mean, you can run a police vehicle into the side of the apartment building, you know, but we're on the first level, whatever it may be, but you think outside the box, don't be afraid, but you want to distract that guy so that officer can move as safely as possible out of the funnel of death, as they call it, so to speak.
I'll bet that was painful running as fast as he was on that calf.
But you know what? You may not feel that pain though. Your adrenaline, think about it. Your adrenaline would be just, because, I mean, that's, everything worked out okay. We had two officers that were struck both in the leg. Fortunately, not somewhere else more critical on the body. But, it ended as we would suspect it would, with the suspect being deceased. So at the end of the day, it was a win for law enforcement.
Yeah, happy ending. Well, look, we've got not a lot of time, so let's cover this this cop with kidney failure story real quick, because some things did change on this. ABC 7 New York or ABC7NY.com and GlobalOrdinanceNews.com. There's really two articles. So the original title is "Cop with Kidney Failure: 6 months Away from Retirement Being Terminated, Ending His Health Benefits." So listen, this is at Mount Vernon, New York, and it's being covered by WABC. A 19-year police veteran in Mount Vernon who is 6 months away from retirement and has kidney failure is being terminated at the end of the month. Now, there's an update to this. I will get to that. But Officer Derek Williams, he's on dialysis. His doctors say that that he can work on light duty, but his agency, the Mount Vernon Police Department, they're just north of New York City. They said that he cannot work, and that they're terminating him on December the 31st. Wow, 6 months before he's eligible for, like, I guess, retirement. And he said here in a quote, "I do 9 hours of dialysis 7 days a week." I had forgotten how long that takes. 9 hours, 7 days a week to maintain my health. Without that, I would not survive. And Officer Williams, he's a former member of the Elite Emergency Service Unit. He contracted COVID-19 back in 2020, you know, when it was all over the place. And that was after months of working double shifts. So pretty much implying that it was exposure at work that got him to catch COVID. And then all these other issues with the kidneys and stuff started after that. The department has classified, though, his kidney failure as a non-job-related illness. And they stopped paying him when he became too sick to work. So doctors have cleared the 45-year-old for desk duty, and he is just 6 months away from qualifying under reduced pension, and his request has been denied. He said, "I beg for my job back. I beg to come in whatever hours I'm capable of doing. I was told there's no light duty available for me." And earlier this month, he received a termination letter effective December 31st, which would not only end his career, but also cut off his health insurance. Ouch. And he says, "I feel like they have no empathy and they have no compassion." So let me just kind of fast forward this. But there is one quote from a former commissioner saying that, to be blunt, if you're terminating his employment, you're terminating his life in so many words. So now we've got the mayor of Mount Vernon. They've approved a 6-month extension of health benefits and delayed separation for Officer Derek Williams. The mayor, Sean Patterson Howard, said that she authorized the extension after reviewing his employment status and learning more about his medical situation. So they're basically giving him enough time to do that early retirement or apply for some kind of medical, disability. 30-second Jeff Wininger.
Well, you know, I applaud the mayor for doing the right thing, and I'm actually embarrassed that the police department didn't do the right thing from the onset. There's different ways of taking care of people, and, you know, this is a moral and ethical issue, and you have to get the guy to the finish line. Shame on the police department.
That's a good way to put it, but you're absolutely right. So, yeah, at least it took a little arm bending, but they got it. But who says that a little publicity can't go a long way and change things? So yeah. Hey, Jeff Weininger, thanks so much for being on the show, and congratulations, you know, on the book. If people want more information on the book, it's on thinicebook.com still, correct?
That's correct. Yep. And right. You can get it on any platform. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or Walmart, you can go to Amazon or whatever, but go to any platform and you can purchase it there.
And if you guys want to get a hold of Jeff or book him, you can find him on LinkedIn or jeffweininger.com as well. So thanks. Hey, that's great stuff. Hey, I also want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3. And also our sponsors, guys, you know, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, Medicare.live. And we've got SafeguardRecruiting.com. We've got TwoBells.com, FisherLandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.